Last week we explored the din of shnei anashim. Tonight we'll begin to explore the din of shnei nashim. This all goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had opened the very first din, very first explicit din of yichud, and the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Kiddushin was the fact that on the one hand, there is no isser of yichud if you have two men and a woman together. But there is an Isra of Yichud if you have one man and two women. Reuven, Shimon, Eliza, that's fine. For Reuven, Eliza, Yocheved, not okay. So last week we explored the various limitations, the qualifications that the Gemara has for that heter of Shnei Anashim. Number one, the Gemara had said that it's limited to Ksherim, two Prutzim, or even ten Prutzim with a woman. That's problematic. And the second limitation the Gemara had was that baderech, you need two are not sufficient, you need three. And we'd explored each of those, explored what the definition of prutzim is. We saw that there was a machlokas harishonim, how to understand as the shocking story of a Rav and Rav Yehuda. A Rav says, we're not prutzim. Prutzim is only those who have been tested in fire. So the vast majority of Rishonim don't read that as normative. The vast majority of Rishonim say that itself was a chumrah of Rav. Prutza ksherim means the stamen ashim ksherim. That's how the Ramah had quoted. The Shulchan Aruch had quoted the position of the Rambam. To take that Gemara literally, I should add that I had forgotten. The Ravid actually seems to agree with the Rambam. The Ravid in that snippet of Balei Nefesh that I had sent out. At the end, he sort of like you think that he's already done with his kiddushim, it's wrapping up, and he throws in that doozy that three ksherim, lav ksherim ki ha'idna, has to be real ksherim. If it's ishto imo, so then you can have a lower standard. But normally the Rabbi seems to agree with the Rambam. So the Rav Rav Yehuda didn't consider themselves ksherim. Okay, so it's a position of both the Rambam and the Ravid. That we don't really have ksherim b'zman hazeh, but that's not how we assume la'alacha. We assume la'alacha like the Ramban and the Ritva and Tosfos Riyazakin, the majority. And then the other question was a question of baderech. That baderech you need three because of the concern that one may have to leave. So if you only have a total of two men, one leaves, so that leaves the other man alone with the woman. That's we need to start with three. So if one leaves, the other two remain. And we had discussed for that din as well, the story of Rav and Yehuda was very relevant because of what they did not say. Neither of them raises the issue of Adarach. If Yehuda says, what's the problem of Yichud? And Rav responds, we're not Ksherim. You would have expected Rav Yehuda to not even ask the question, of course the problem of Yichud, we're only two men. And why didn't Rav answer that? Particularly if you think that Rav was invoking a personal chumrah to treat himself as a parrot, we have to invoke a personal chumrah, make a din asaser. Because by derech you need three. And we had seen three approaches to that question. There was the approach of the Rif, who doesn't mention the din of Adarach. It appears to imply that he thinks that we don't lehalacha accept this chumrah of Adarach. So that would be consistent with the story. On the other extreme, there's a Marsha who says that there actually were three people in the story. The question doesn't get off the ground. There was the in-between position that the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, and the Darkei Moshe quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham, quoting in turn the Ramah, Reish Mem Hei, Ramah with an Aleph. That's the fifth. That's the Achron, early Achron of the 1500s, contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah goes back to the 1300s, maybe even the late 1200s. He's a Rishon, Rabbeinu Meir Halevi, 1200s, I believe. I think he was an older contemporary of the Ramban. He's very involved in the controversy over the Rambam's writings. So the Ramah, quoted by Rabbeinu Yerucham, so he says, it depends. There is a din of baderech, but only if they feel an obligation. They're traveling with her. They took responsibility. But in this case, there was no responsibility. They could both leave. And the other major point, and this is where we wrapped up, and this is where we'll open, just with a hanging thread from last time, the Ravid, The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quoted the Ravid that the din of Derech isn't so relevant to us nowadays because we, Baruch Hashem, have indoor plumbing. The din of Baderech, Shalom Aleichem, the din of Baderech is really only relevant. Is really only relevant if you're hiking or something. The Ravid said, but there's another example of Baderech which comes up every 24 hours, and that is Balayla. That's important. That's very important. That's very important that the Ravid says that at night when people might be falling asleep or when people are sleeping, so it's not enough to have one shomer. Shnei anashim ksherim v'isha achas is not muta balayla because you're sleeping. A sleeping shomer is not the same as an awake shomer. However, he says two sleeping shomerim are the same as one awake shomer. Three men and one woman is muta balayla. Two men and women is not, but three men and woman is similar to our Gemara. That Baderech, you need three. This is Balayla, you need three. The Ravid also says, not only based on our Gemara, based on the Gemara in Ksubas Davdalet. But the Gemara had said, again, this is where we left off, and we'd left off actually with Michael had a question, and I want to get back to that. And this is also going to be relevant to the sugya you're about to jump into. The Gemara there had said, you have a very rare and tragic situation where you're about to have a wedding, and then Meis Aviv Shal Chasson and Ima Shal Kala. Chasson's father passed away immediately before. The Kala's mother passed away immediately before. It's obviously a very, very incredibly fraught situation. So one of the many pieces of our response to that situation, the Gemara says that in that particular situation, we do not want to have... We don't want them to begin Shiva before they get married. They're about to get married. The chuppah is ready. Everything is ready. The food is ready. The cater is ready. And then the parent passed away an hour before the chuppah. So even though it seems initially a little counterintuitive, we actually rush to the chuppah and rush them to be a Rishona, let them get married, consummate the marriage, and then head into Shiva. And then as you hold off on the kavura until after you move through to the chuppah and be rishona very quickly, and then kavura and Shiva. Because I thought that was the better way to organize things. There's obviously a lot going on in that sugya, but for a lot, learning ksubas is a lot going on in that sugya, for learning avelis is a lot going on in that sugya. But the one thread that's relevant for us from the Hilchos Yichud standpoint is the following. And one sub-thread that's relevant to this sugya. The Gemara does say that there's a unique din of Yichud there. The Gemara says that you have this enormous kula, that even though either the chasson or kala just lost a parent, we actually feel it's better for them to get married, have birishona before, while they're in aninus before the kavur nevelus. But once they then head to the kavur nevelus, so that's always a din, the standard din in the Perek Ilum Galchen, that avel during shiva is forbidden to have tasha shemita with his wife or with her husband, as the case may be. But in this scenario, not only is there an iser tasha shemita over the course of shiva, as it would be for any avel, but because of the unique circumstances, and because they just got married, you actually impose an iser of yichud as well. Hu yashen bein ha'anashim, v'hi yashena bein ha'anashim. It's similar to a situation, Gemara says, where you have right, chuppas nida. Either couple gets married and she's already nida, or she becomes the nida immediately after the chuppah before bir rishona. So normally, maybe we'll come back to this more as we progress in Hilchos Yichud. But normally we said there is one of the cases where there's no Isser Yichud, despite the fact that's an Erva, is husband, wife, and she's a Nida. I don't think, did we explore that extensively or not yet?
I missed a couple of weeks.
So we didn't yet. We'll come to it more later on. But normally, Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Sif Aleph, but normally a husband and wife, she's a nida, that comes up in Sota Dav Zayin also, husband and wife, and she's a nida, even though it's Isser Karis, so there's no Isser Yichud, but that's when it's in the context of an ongoing marriage relationship, but they just got married, they haven't even had Tashrish once, so then she becomes a Nida at that point. Kal Shapir's a Nida, according to Bir Rishona. So also, you have this, you do have an Isser Gicha. And the language that the Gemara uses for the Kal Shapir's a Nida and for the Mesa of Vishalchasni Mishalkala is Hu Yashin Bein Ha'anashim, Vihi Yashina Bein Ha'anashim. He's going to sleep about the Isser Gicha, so they can't just, head to their apartment for the night and go to sleep and close the door. No, instead, because in the Shi'ichud, he sleeps among the men, she sleeps among the women. So there are a number of pieces going on there, but one of the pieces that Ravid suggests is that that captures the fact that because of that, why Anashim? Just bring in one more man. And that'll solve your problem. So Ravid says, no. Because it's Balayla, it's not enough to have one shomer. You need to have two shomer. So he says this notion that Balayla, you need two shomerim, is rooted in the parallel to Baderech and Ar Gemara, and it's also rooted in the plural of Ksubas Davdalot, Hu Yashin Bein Ha'anashim. So last time Michael, I think that was at the very end of the Chabur, Michael said 1 second, so... It sounds like that we're mandating more than two shomrim. We're saying that he's among the men and she's among the women. So the Ravid, now the Ravid has multiple interpretations of the Gemara, but for the interpretation he offers here, page Chavav in the Masada of Kuk edition of Balei Nefesh, first he says maybe this notion of the Hu Yashem Bein Ha'anashim V'Hishem Bein Ha'anashim, maybe that's unique to these situations where they just got married, okay? Or, the Ravid says, or maybe this is actually a general din. Whenever it is to Yichud, by Laila you need two shomrim. And then he says, if that's the case, and that line is quoted in the Ramah here in Sifei, and he says, if that's the case, he says, when do we say, Isha Achas Mizacheres of Shnei Anashim Sherim, Hanimili Bayom? A balai left at night, lishani ma, but by zachar aser, unless you have a total of three ksherim, similar as the husband, the wife, and two other ksherim. Vipneshi domala derech, similar to badarech, similar to argamar, yikidushin payoff. Just as badarech, one additional shomer is not enough, so to balaila, the fellow sleeping, one additional shomer is not enough, and then he goes on to say, to address Michael's question, miyushmiris nashim lo be'inan kal. The Gemara gave that language of he's sleeping among the men, she's sleeping among the women, but technically that might be the more comfortable way to organize it. But you could also just have the couple and two additional men, and that would also be fine. He proves it from a story the Gemara tells Masechta Shabbos. You don't need one woman and a group of men, three or more men, would be mutter even balayla. So that's just to respond, to wrap up the sugya of last time, and to respond to Michael's question.
Are you saying that those are extra, that's extra by a chupas nida too? Hu Yashin Bein Ha'anashim, or I mean...
You got to figure out. So I don't want to get too involved in that.
Or by the Misa.
That's a discussion the Rosh and the Ravid have. Like, is there something added going on? Or maybe an extra machmer, is dafka alayla, bayom? But certainly in terms of the general din that the Ravid sees in that Gemara, that in any situation, Yichud Balayla requires three, he says, but doesn't require three men and three women. It just requires three men. Now, but that we're going to come back to this din of Balayla as we dive into the next sugyam.
Doesn't the fact that you don't require all of them just show that it's an expression and maybe you can't learn anything from...
Yeah, that's a good point. Once you're saying that lavdafka, maybe the whole expression is lavdafka. It just means there's an isur yichud to solve it. Yeah, that is a good point. That might be why. To the number that maybe you're showing who disagree. I'm not sure if there's anyone who explicitly there's someone who disagrees.
So it could be by newlyweds also. There's a reason because they're not supposed to be alone. So if he would just go sleep
with
in a different house with men.
That could be. That's a good point. I'm trying to remember where I saw. I did see a Rishon who disagrees with the Ravid. I'm not remembering who. There was someone who said Beferish even Balayla, you only need I'm not remembering who. So there definitely is room to push back on the Ravid. But it could also be within the Ravid, in terms of understanding the Ravid, so your kasha might actually be misyashev with a different kasha. Because the other thing that's interesting about the Ravid is he's sort of splicing two Gemaras, meaning he feels the need to bring in two different Gemaras to make his point. Mm-hmm. He says, well, it's like Badarach, it's that Gemara, it's like Badarach, and it's that Gemara. Back to Ksuvis. So it could be that in a Chanepar, maybe where the Ravid is driving at, it's not just pointing, he's talking about the Gemara Ksuvis, and he's, you know, you could say, yeah, he's pointing towards the Gemara Ksuvis, but he's, you know, being just Madama to Badarach. It could be it's more. It could be in a Chanami. If all you have is a Gemara Ksuvis, the Ravid's saying, then, yeah, it has to be at least partially Lav Dafka. He has a Gemara in Shabbos that it has a scenario where there are a group of Tanaim who had gone to Dupin Shvuyim and they had redeemed this one female captive. The group of men and one woman, Balayla, that's right, it says it can't be the require Anashim Vinashim. But you're right, if all you had was that Gemara in Ksubis, so once you have the Gemara in Shabbos, maybe you would have said, the whole thing is Lav Dafka. And it could be, it's only because he has the Badarach model that he says, well, no. There's a svara to say that you should need multiple women, but Lav Dafka, multiple women as well. And the Idach Yisif, you just had the Gemara in Kiddushin. It's not self-evident that the svara of Badarach should apply Balayla also. It's plausible, but it's not the Mukhrach. So it could be it's a combination of the two. And it could be, you're right. He's forced, the Gemara on Shabbos, it tells the story of Yeshua, forced him to say the Nashim is Lav Dafka. He maybe would have said Anashim is Lav Dafka also, but on the other hand, you have the Argamar of Kiddushin Payal. Also, Nashim is Lav Dafka, not just plural Nashim is Lav Dafka. You don't need any women. But the Hu Yashim Bein HaAnashim, definitely we're saying you need someone. The question is, you know, one or more. So once the need for Anashim is not just a figure of speech. So that may be why, so we're ready to take the plural seriously. But what he's saying for the Gemara on Shabbos is, the whole Hu Yashim Bein HaAnashim is lagamrei irrelevant. Not just the fact that it's plural. You don't even need one additional woman.
Either, right?
Yeah. Correct. So if it's literally they're in two different places, you don't need anyone else. Correct. So you're right. As an expression, it just sounds like he should go to the yeshiva dorm, and she'll go back to wherever she was. Right. So the Ravid is assuming, which one could have pushed back on, the Ravid is assuming that you have to that's more than merely an expression. In a chanami. And it could be that it's because he has the svara of Badarach that suggests it. Now, the other half of the Mishnah, the counterpoint had been that shtei nashim v'ish echad is aser. Shtei nashim v'ish echad is aser. As we explored, so the Pesach Tshuva had quoted, that is only Dirabanan, and that's why, again, going back to the beginning of the Gemara in Pei Beis, the Gemara's drasha for Yichud Derayis had been Beseser, one man and one woman. The Gemara's Maitaima had addressed this, in this case of the two women. It's not Asim in the Torah anyway, so why did Chazal impose an Isdirabanan by Shtei Nashim, but not by Shnei Anashim? And this is where the Gemara had answered, Nashim Daitan Kalos. So Rashi had said, Lo Yisya, both in the Gemara Rashi said, Shtei Nachos Les Batos, there's a concern he may seduce both. And Rashi says, Shtei Nachos Les Batos, on the Rashi, the Mishnah, V'lo Sirizu Mechaberto Sha'afitas Kemosas. Then there's, one won't be worried that the other one will presumably share the information, if they're both participants. If they're both participants in chet, he's going to induce both to be mezana with him. Or at least each woman knows there's a good chance that he will seduce the other one as well. So then she's not as inhibited because the other one is also participant. There is another approach of the Ritva, which we'll come back. This might show up in a later Mishnah also. If you turn to Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Aleph is actually famous for its discussion of a seemingly unrelated topic, which is career choice. This is where the Mishnahs talk about what sort of career to choose. It relates to the sugya in the first paragraph of Kiddushin, daf lama aleph, that the father has a chiyuv to see to it that a son can be gainfully employed, part of the larger discussion about balancing learning and working. So the Mishnah says that Beferish Mishnah talks here about making sure to teach your son, train your son for this type of work, that type of work. The Mishnah talks about what you're looking for in terms of qualities, wanted, unwanted qualities in the jobs that you seek to have. But the connection of that to the end of Kiddushin is the first line, which is the Hilchos Yichud line. Kol she'asaka v'manashim lo yisachei d'manashim. Someone who works in a women's line of work is a line of work where his client base is female, so he should not be misyached with them. He should not be misyached. And that already launched the mission into discussion of is it a bad idea to train your son for a line of work where his client base is women? And that segues into the general discussion of and what else you're looking for, not looking for in a career. So the problem that the Rishonim have. Is what? What kasha do they have in this line of Mishnah? What
problem? Could be more than Shtei Nashim.
Well, what's the most basic problem? That's a good point. We'll come back to.
The door is open.
Okay.
I mean, it's business, so I mean, it's not.
I mean, they could be too friendly with each other. Just
being so that's the question: is what? What do you mean, lo yisachem anashim? No, they're Jewish. Do you have to say someone who works with women should wear tefillin every day? Someone who works with women should bench? I mean, yeah, he's a Jewish man. He's bound by the law as a Jewish man. So what do you mean, lo yisachem anashim? Rashi Ray jumps into the issue, and Tosis jumps into the issue. What do you mean? It's true for anyone. And Ben Hanan also, many Rishonim jump into this issue. The Rambam, the Ritva. So most Rishonim say there must be some kula that's rescinded. It doesn't apply. You work with women, so you're going to have to be more machmer. Your client base is women, so you have to be more machmer. Let's back up a little bit. What's the scenario? So you have this man who has a female client base. So what issue is he going to have? He'll often be alone with his female client base. So he needs to be extra machmir. Because he's often alone with his female client base, he needs to be extra machmir. So how is he going to be extra machmir? So Tosa says, look, the Mishnah said that normally a man could be alone with two women if one of them is his wife. Ishto ima. Tosa says, but not if his malachta manashim. Tosa responded to Rashi because Rashi had said Mr. Kindler's point that the Mishnah didn't mention how many. The Mishnah just said asakiv manashim lo yisachi manashim. Don't be misyachid with women. How many women? He didn't say. The previous Mishnah or Mishnah daf peyam beis we had said shtei nashim. So Tosa's Rashi makes a diak. Rashi says no one can be misyachid with two women. This fellow can't be misyached with women. Any number of women, even three or four. That's what Rashi says. Tilam harbe nashim. Why? Because libo gaspahu. Because he's comfortable with them and they're going to cover for him. And Rashi says, but if it was anyone else, ben shtei nashim tanan. But sholosh or arba, shapir dami. That's the position of Rashi, that normally there's no heter of shtei nashim, but there is a heter of sholosh nashim. That's Rashi's approach. You have to be medayik in the Mishnah, the Apei, only said Shtei Nashim. It's only this rochel, this peddler, or whatever sort of work he has that has a. That's an example that the Rishonim speak about. You have a fellow who's the Avon man. He's selling cosmetics. So he's in a line with a female client base. So he can't be misyachid even with more than two women. Tosis is not happy with that. Tosis says, I don't think it's the case. Tosis points to Gemara that we'll come to in greater detail. But take a look for now. Pe'alpha and Aleph, right at the end of the narrow lines. Rav Kahana talks about a scenario. Anashmi v'chutz v'nashmi v'fnim. You have an inner room and an outer room. So it sounds like you have a dead-end room, like here, and then you have the hallway outside. So this is the b'fnim, and that's the v'chutz. So Rav Kahana says, if you have women in the inner room and a bunch of men in the outer room, so that's a problem, because any man could sort of slip in unnoticed into the group of the women. The Gemara has more to say about that, but that's enough for now. So Tosas says... Tosas here on Pebez of Aleph says, Kashal Haram, Le'el Pe'alpha Me'alpha, Nashim Bifnin, Nashim Bachutz, Choshim Shem Yichud. What's the concern? What's the, that's the other half of the Gemara. The Gemara talks about man the inside, man the outside, but believing the details alone for now, the concern is that man may slip into that room of women, into the room of how many women? We didn't say two. If you're going to take Rashi's diak and run with it, that whenever we don't say two women, it means even many women. Well, that case also, we didn't say shtei nashim. We just said anashim and nashim. So it sounds like if a man slips into a room of nashim, it's a problem. So doesn't that push back against Rashi's kula? So Tosfos, based on that, wants to reject. Tosfos, based on that, wants to reject Rashi's kula. And he says, nothing to talk about. He says, I don't think there's any heter of a man with three women. I wanted the Mishnah to say two. So why the Mishnah have to specify two women, if it's true even for more? So I think the Ritva, maybe even his Rebbe the Ramban, says no, because the Mishnah said Shnei Anashim. The point there was, that was important, that even two men are already enough to be matrik. If you said a woman can be misyacheret with anashim, I would have thought you need many men. So Vidafka said shnei anashim, that two suffices. So once he said two, so he said two in this case also. It's true. It's true, but it's not necessary. So that's the position of Tosis and the Ramban, the Ritva. They disagree with Rashi's heter. Yeah. So they give other kulas that might fall by the wayside. For instance, Tosas says, along the lines of Rashi, that we're talking about a man with women, but it's not the kula that Rashi had, which the other Rishonim think he invented, of Shalosh Nashim, but it's the kula that instead actually appears in the Mishnah, which is that a man with two women, or the other Rishonim would say with even three or four women, normally is Yichon, unless one of those women is his wife. So it says, so Ishto Imo is mutter, but not if he's a suck of im Hanashim. Interesting, by the way, take a look in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the position of the Rambam. Actually, even take a look at Rabbeinu Hanano. No, we don't have Rabbeinu Hanano here. Take a look in, if you have a rush in front of you, let's first take a look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, if Zion, afilu ishas, this is a quote from the Rambam, afilu ishas asako malachtim hanashim, even one who works with women, asur lo lisechim hanashim. He's not allowed to have yichud with women. Okay, it said, yasi yisasek ima v'ishto imo, o yifne malach acheres. You got to have a solution. Either figure out a way to deal with your female client base without violating the yichud. For instance, you'll have your wife in the store with you, husband and wife will run the store together, or find a different line of work. Okay? So number one, it's important to work for a living, and it's important to make sure that you're working for a living, but often I'm mutter. And if it's aser, you got to do something about it. You can't just throw up your hands and say, I need a job. Figure out a way to work beheter or find a different job. Sometimes easier said than done, but that
having to find a
what do you mean? What's shocking? What's the big chiddush in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch Rikwan the Rambam. There's one word that really brings it home. Or if you want, you can take a look in the Rush in Siman Chav Zayin here. He makes it clearer. The Rambam is subtle. Let me ask you a question. Did the Rambam imply that only he, that the dafka for him more than two women is usur? Like Rashi? Or did the Rambam imply, like Tosfos, that he does not have the kula of Ishtoimah?
It doesn't say either.
If anything, I'll drop. He said the favorite Ishtoimah is mutter, right? He has a yichud problem, but Ishtoimah will be fine. So Rambam clearly disagrees with Tosfos's idea that there's a chumra that Asakva Nashim has no kula of Ishtoimah. And there, I don't think there's really any indication that he holds like Rashi. If anything, here, take a look. The Rambam is often aligned with the Rif and or Rabbeinu Hanano. See here, the Rush, the very end of the Masechta. Quotes Rabbeinu Hanano. Simon Chavzaini quotes Rashi. Rashi's take on the Gemara, then he quotes Tosfos' problem. What are you going to do with... what are you going to do with Anashim Bifnim, Anashim Bachutz? And then he mentions what we mentioned before, that that the pushback against Rashi's idea, because we mentioned Shtei Anashim because the Mishnah says Shnei Anashim. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Hanano. At the end, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who toasted the quote as well, that we suspend Ishto Imam. But he quotes beforehand, in between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes Rabbeinu Hanano. And Chamal Zal Pirish, Kol Shasak Vanashim, Af Al Pi, Shinose Vinose Tam and Iman Lo Yisechema. Even though he's constantly interacting with them commercially, professionally, he's not allowed to have Yichud. Mashma Sharot Saloma. I would have thought that you should be more makel because he works with women. Why? He's in professional mode. He's busy with work. He's not thinking about the women in the romantic frame of mind. Or another reason to be makel. Guy's got to make a living. What do you want him to do? It's not possible to write. If his business is totally with a female client base, how is he possibly going to run his business? So Nebuch, the guy has no choice, he'll have to make on Yichud. Comes the Mishnah to say, sorry, that's not a valid argument. Afilo hachi aser. Afilo hachi aser. Now you look at the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, there's one word that gave it away. The first word. Look back at Siv Zayin, which is a direct quote from the Rambam. Afilu isha sakum lachtem anashim aslis yachim im anashim. Even, in other words, yichud is aser, even for one who works professionally with a female client base. In other words, I would have thought that yichud is aser, but if you have a female client base, then mutter. And that's what the Rambam explained. Why I would have thought that? The Rush based on Rechanan, Rechanan and the Rambam saying the same thing. The Rush is explaining that maybe I would have thought... that he has no choice, shasat chak, how he can make parnasa, or I would have thought that the fact that he's desensitized, he's working with them professionally all the time, and maybe specifically in their professional context, you could, it's more sterile. So we reject all of those svaras. That's what the Rabbi Reichan was saying. That the fact that shasat chak and eternal living, that doesn't allow you to violate yichud, desensitized because he deals with women all the time, that does not allow it to violate Yichud. And the fact, even not just desensitized, but specifically right now, it's in a business context. Business context is not at Tzad L'Haka. Now, there are the Radvaz and a Tshuva. Radvaz has a shocking situation. Radvaz lived in the 16, a very early Achron, 1600s, I believe, maybe even late 1500s. Rabbi Nadav ben Zimra, he was one of the great rabbanim of Mitzrayim at the time. I think he's, as far as I know, one of the most prolific tshuva writers of the last, of all of Jewish history, as far as I know. In terms of published tshuvas, I think there are thousands, thousands and thousands. The output was tremendous. Now again, it could be there are thousands of rabbans wrote that much, this we don't have most of them preserved and published. We have many, many tshuvas of the Rashba. And the Radvaz, I believe, if I remember correctly, is in the thousands. I could be wrong. It's until modern times, it's rare that so many tshuvas at least were both written and copied, which was a technical challenge until modern times, and were preserved and published. So here in Chelek Gimel Tzimen Tav Pei Aleph, there's this whole situation. He says that there were women who were going in groups to work. So there's a lot of backstory here. A lot of social history. He says there's a whole phenomenon of men who were just not going to work. The women had to work to support the family. And they were looking for work. And there was groups of women would go to live in non-Jewish facilities where they would be working in textiles for days at a time. So the Radvaz is trying to figure this. Is it a yichur problem? It's not a yichur problem. Do they have a status of sota levaila? It deals with a lot. So he raises this issue of should you say that, well, since it's in a business context, so therefore I could take liberty. He's not very taken by the idea. Again, that's consistent with the Rambam and Chananel, that the other context will sometimes say that you assume that person is distracted by business, not thinking in other directions, but that's not sadlock. Rav suggests maybe if you have enough, if there are other reasons to make, well, anyways, you can throw that in as an additional sniff lahakal icing on the cake. They certainly not willing to make solely based on bavidite.
Rebbe,
just
one thing clear. While we don't imply the kulos by a person who's in a business with women, we do imply if he can solve the yichud problem by messing up one of the basic criteria, he can do that. For example, for example, if his door is open.
Okay, good.
I mean, how far are you going? I mean, is that where we draw the line, or?
Yeah, that seems to me like that should have been the logical answer that Tosus gave instead of Ishto Imo.
Yes. Tosus just says, well, since he's a Rochel, ikachashasha tvei. The language that the Rush uses is more of a chashash. And here's how Ishto Imo seems like a pretty... that seems like a... It's hard to imagine a better heter. One's fellow's wife is right there. So we will explore... I want to explore this one. There's a Gemara of Odazara. That's going to be the next set of Mar Mokamos. There are exceptions to Ishto Imo. Now, the language that the Rush has, brand of Simon Chav Zayin, in talking about the Tam Shita, Zafila Ishto Imo, Halva Sakam Anoshim, Libo Gasban, the Eno Boshma Ishto. Libo Gasban, that's something we haven't gotten to yet. When we get to Bailo Be'ir, we'll see that the Gemara talks about a case where you're comfortable. A case where you're comfortable with people, so the Kula of Bailo Be'ir sometimes won't apply. So the way the Rosh Hashanah way of Tav, this is also like Libo Gasban. Clients he has all the time. But yeah, I absolutely agree. The fact that one's husband is in town can be mitigated by the fact that you're comfortable. The fact that one's wife is present. Now, I should note, though, that if you look back at... If you look in the Ritva, the language that he has... The language that he has, the fellow is the status of a parrot. Because... The Asakiv Manashim, saying the Libo Gaspa, that's a little more mild. The Rabban says, the Dino Kaparts, working with women all day long. Shocking. That's a very strong statement. So then you begin to understand a little bit more of why Ishto Imo might be rolled back. But maybe let's hold off on that for now until we get to the Sugya of Ishto Imo.
I was asking before, is how do you define Asakiv Manashim? Is it 75%, 90%, or if you own a store and you have people coming in, and sometimes it's men, sometimes it's women, does it have to be like an exclusive bleeding?
I think the post can assume it is something that's exclusive. Yeah. You're selling women's clothing, you're selling women's cosmetics, something like that. But
you didn't deal with my question. I mean, is Pesach Basurah a part of the basic halacha yichud basic criteria?
So maybe that's a great question. We're not yet ready to deal with because we haven't gotten to Pesach Basurah. There are machlokes in the world of Pesach Basurah that some understand to be a machlokas over whether Pesach Basurah is a heter. Or is it just not yich at all? If it's not yich at all, then it's hard to say if it gets rolled back.
But you said the first week that we're going to be dealing with kulas for most of the rest of the Zman. But we haven't really focused on defining yichud without the kulas. I mean.
Right, we're getting there. We will get there.
Okay.
We'll get the siftas, pay off and off. But then we'll get to Pesach Pasuach. But again, coming back here, so there's a lot to deal with, and we'll deal more with the Tosas piece as we get into Ishto Imo. But I would stress the following. So again, it's worth knowing Bechlal, that you have this Mishnah and Pei Beis and Aleph. It says something about Sakma Nashim and Yichud, that there is Yichud by Sakma Nashim, which again, the Rambam and Chanal say it's telling you don't add kulos to Sakma Nashim. Most Rishonim say it means not just don't be more mekel, but you actually have to be more machmer. Be more machmer in what way? So there's several different approaches. Rashi in particular understood that meant that the Mishnah Peyim and Beis implies a heter of shalosh nashim, but not by a sakam nashim. Sakam nashim, you withhold that additional kula of Shalosh Nashim. Who else says that? So Rashi isn't the only one to say it. The Tosas Riazakin actually says it as well. Tosas Riazakin says here explicitly. Umanuso im anashim anashim tzrichos lo, if I was in a female line of work, lo yisacheni mohen lefi shekul mechapos alav. They'll all cover for him, and therefore there's an added concern that even when he's with a group of women, he might take liberties and be mezana. So the Tosfot Rezakin says explicitly like Rashi. Someone else who's not in a women's line of work, so he's also if they have yichud with two, but with three or four, be mutter. But for this fellow, sakam anashim, so even with three or four, it's still awesome. So what's interesting, so now take first the table of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does quote it with hesitation. The very end of Ramon Sifhei. Last time we had focused on most of Ramon Sifhei was about the Dina Mishnei Anashim, and Baderech, and Balaila, and Ksheir, and Prutzim. The last line, the Yesh Matirin Ish Echad, the last line of the Ramon Sifhei, Yesh Matirin Ish Echad Im Nashim Harbe. Some are matir, one man with multiple women, more than two. Im ein asaka im anashim. That's the position of Rashi and as well Tosas Riazakin. So the Mechaber clearly does not hold that way because in Siv Zayin he quoted the Rambam. Here the Rambam is quoting as a yesh matirin. The question is, what do you do with the yesh matirin? So most posts are not super thrilled. The Chalkas Machoki, for instance, points out that Tosas Sivkat Mches. He says, okay, so that's Rashi, but Tosas didn't like it. Anashim Bifnim, Anashim Bachutz, what are you going to do? So I feel Hanashim Harbe is Shayech Yichud. So then he says, well, maybe Rashi would say that Gemara of Anashim Vanashim, Mairi Bimisha Asakwim Anashim. Maybe he's talking about the men in the room are all men in. Which is very difficult, and the Shalkas Machoki doesn't sound like he's particularly excited. They quote Zabach, what a different answer. He doesn't, it doesn't seem particularly thrilled. The Beis Shmuel also, Sifkan Yud, he says, well, because Rashi holds that's mutter. Rashi holds Nashim Rabim is mutter. He says, but Tosfos disagreed. And the Rambam disagreed. The Mechaber quoted the Rambam. So I think poskim in general are not thrilled about Rashi. The Taz also on the bottom in Ibn Ezra. The Taz doesn't make it into his usual position on the side. But the Taz also is not excited about Rashi. So I think Poskim are sometimes willing to discuss being made, maybe B'Shas HaTchak. Normally we would not rely on Rashi. What's interesting, and it's the mashmos of the Rush, and the footnotes, the Ritva point this out, I think it's already there, the Rush already implies this, that it may be Rashi L'shitaso. The fact that Rashi was Mekel, the sort of thought that normally the concern of Shtei Nashim is only Shtei Nashim, but not Shalosh or Arba, Rashi had said that on the Mishnah, said, well, Shtei Nochos L'Hispatos. Why is there no Heter of Shtei Nashim? Why is that Midrabana and Ishech of Shtei Nashim Zatzer? So because there's a real concern that this fellow may induce both of them to Mizana with him. So when the Rush quotes Rashi, he says, he's not going to induce three or four women. What's going to, that seems like a highly, even the two women seems unlikely. Okay, but it's not so unlikely that Yichud is Mutter. Three, four, this is really, seems incredibly unlikely. So Rashi, Lishitasa, Rashi thinks the whole Chumra of Shtei Nashim is based on Shtei Nachos L'Sbatos. It's only two, three or four is a Mutter. Again, right. Whereas the Ritva says more generally on the Mishnah, he says that there's a chance that women will cover for each other. Not that they're necessarily both participate. They're a cover for each other. So then there's not necessarily room to be make on Shalosh Nashim. Okay. So that's this din of Shtei Nashim. So again, you have a din of Shtei Nashim, and the Mishnah says and the Gemara explains Midrabanan. Aish Echad v'Shtei Nashim is normally Asur unless one of those two women is his wife. Rashi thinks another exception to the Chumrah of the Isur of Shtei Nashim is Shalosh Nashim. Three or four is also a mutter, and as we saw, most Rishonim do not accept that. Are there any other heterim when you have one man and two women, other than Ishto Imo?
Right.
Again, we have all the other kulos. But stop just one man, two women. Could that case alone be mutter? So there is an issue that the Pischei Tshuva raises.
What? One of the women is a relative.
Oh. So that's the issue the Pischei Tshuva raises. That's the issue the Pischei Tshuva raises. Pischei Tshuva says, Pischei Tshuva wants to know Sif Katan Beis. He goes to Chor LaAvraham. I am the Sefer Zachor LaAvraham. This is three lines off the bottom of Pischei Tshuva. Os Yud. Yud for Yichud. Pischei Tshuva is right over here. Below the Bar Hetev. Kasav Od. L'chor de kol zehu dafka l'hisached ima levada. When we say, he quotes after quoting the Bach, that not only is there a heter yichud between parent and child, but even between grandparent and grandchild, that's only the grandson, the grandmother alone, or the grandfather, the granddaughter alone. That's mutter. I feel it in bito, bas bito, then it's aser. Da habez noshim, aser lehisached, lekule alma. Wow. See, he says, fellow goes to visit his grandmother, beautiful. But if you go to visit a grandmother and a female cousin is there, you're with the joint grandmother, since there's no heter yichud with a cousin, so that's going to be problematic. I have the grandmother there, okay, I have no heter yichud with my grandmother, but I do have an heter yichud with my cousin. My grandmother's presence doesn't solve the issue. After all, there is no heter of shtei nashim. In other words, what's he saying? There's no heter of shtei nashim, meaning women don't serve as shomeres. Women don't serve as shomeres. So it's very nice that nice yichud my grandmother, but my grandmother doesn't serve as a shomeres to diffuse the problem with the other woman who is there. That is the presentation of the Zachar LaAvraham. A number of more recent Achronim disagree. Shechta quotes in Nefesh Rav, page Reish Nun Vav, the Rav thought the Devar Pashat LaHakel, in that case with the grandmother and the cousin. The Dvar Halacha quotes from the Chazon Ish, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Evan Ezer, Chelik Beis Siman Tazvav, he talks about this, he was asked about this, and he does not accept the Zachar LaAvraham. He says, he has a whole handle that... He assumes the language of, he handles back and forth the language of Rashi. But he points out, Rashi said that the concern is shtehen nochos lehispatos. What you're saying is the reason why shnei anashim is mutter, but shnei anashim is aser, is because there's a concern they might both participate in the chet. But once you have a woman with whom they have no issue yichud, so there's no concern that she's going to be a participant, so then her presence is inhibiting. Her presence is a valid shmira. And then he points out, Rashi in the next line talks about shnei anashim echad bosh mechavero. Embarrassed. So it definitely would be uncomfortable, you would assume, it is uncomfortable as a man would be to mizan of a woman in the presence of some random other woman. Certainly in the presence of a grandmother, a daughter, what have you, it's going to be that much more uncomfortable. The problem, though, and maybe we'll close with this, there is a pushback. And the pushback to against the Rav and the Chazon Ish of Moshe in favor of the Zachar LaAvraham, in other words, these recent Achronim are arguing that any woman, although Shtei Nashim is not normally mutter, and usually just adding an Isha Ksheira doesn't help, but if I add not just an Isha Ksheira, but a woman with whom I have no Isha Yichud, so that solves the problem. A relative, presumably also two women, one of whom is Baal Beir. So once I have no Isha Yichud with her, so then once she's not no question that she would be a participant in the Chet, so then her presence is as much a Shmira as an Ishkasher. What do you say?
It should have been in the Mishnah.
Oh, how should it have been in the Mishnah?
The woman is the greater Chesh. Should have said any woman that you...
Oh, right. The Mishnah said that normally Shtei Nashim is Aser unless one of them is my wife, Ishto Imo. Yeah. Right, so Ishto Imo, that's the least Chesh. As you were saying before, Ishto Imo, what could be a better Shmira, you would hope, in a normal, healthy situation, Ishto Imo. Why the Mishnah say Ishto Imo? Why not say a bigger Chiddush? Say Bito Imo, or for Ashkenazim, it's not going to work so well, Imo. Imo with an Aleph and Imo with an Ayin. And why do you only say Ishto Imo? Why not say any woman, any relative with whom I have no Ishto Yichud? According to Ravasi, Achoso Imo. Why the Mishnah say Dafka Ishto Imo? So it sounds like Dafka Ishto, who obviously provides the strongest Shmira. The implication is any other woman, even if I have no issue yichud with her personally, but she would not, unless she's my wife, she's not going to serve as a shomeres. So that, the Dvar Halacha raises that point. He says that is a strong argument in favor of Zachar LaAvraham. So the Mishnah only said Ishto Imo. The Mishnah didn't say Bito Imo. The Mishnah didn't say Imo. So maybe a Stama woman like Bito or Imo or Baal Beir, just because I have no issue yichud with her doesn't mean that she serves as a shomeres. The Teretz of Dvar Halacha offers wraps us back to where we started. We had started, we spent most of the Chabura on the din of Shtei Nashim. But But we had started by referencing the last week's chabura and the fact that the Ravid has a chumrah that the Rama quotes the halacha that shnei anashim ksheirim doesn't work if it's balayla. If your people are sleeping, they don't serve as valid shomrim. They're more than zero, but they're less than one. As I mentioned last week, Shechter Nusach, the sleeping shomer is a half a shomer. Two sleeping shomerim solve your problem. Equals one awake shomer. So that the Dvar Halacha points out, I remember if he quotes the Chaz Nish, who says it's on his own. What did the Mishnah say about Ishtar Imo? Not just that Ishtar Imo solves the problem of Yichud, but the Mishnah had said that you can be alone with two women if one of them is your wife. The Yashar Imam Bepundiki. You can even spend the night, a husband, wife, and one other woman. What do you mean? It's only three people. Where are your two shomrim? It's balayla. So the answer is, Mishnah mentioned Ishtim, not to tell you the din that she serves as a shomeris, but she actually serves as a super shomeris. Not only is Ishto the equivalent of Ishkasha, Ishto is a better shomer than anyone else in the world. Because Ishto serves alone as a shomeris, even balayla. That is a unique strength that applies only to Ishto. Exactly. Everyone's asleep, one's wife alone, so without the additional presence of a second shomer, already solves the problem. So that's why the Mishnah mentioned Ishto. Because to tell you the added strength of Shmiras Ishto. But so, Bito Imo, or Achoso Imo, you wouldn't have this din of Yashin Mam Pundiki. No. But according to all these Achronim, but a woman with whom I have no Issa Yichud doesn't have the same strength as Ishto, but has equivalent strength to Nishkasha. And that's what we usually assume, I think, Lahalacha, against the Pizchei Tshuva Zachar Lavram, is that although we do have a Din Drabanan, that Isha Echad is also Siachim Shtei Nashim, but any time one of those two women is Mutaris B'Yichud, for whatever reason, because she's a relative of the man, because she's a Baal B'Ir, so not only is Nois Yichud with her, but she would also serve as a Shomeris. Ishto Imo is an added cool, not that she serves as a Shomeris, despite the fact that she's a female, but she actually serves as a Shomeris alone, even by Laila, whereas any other Shomer, male or female, even a valid Shomer, is going to serve as a Shomer by Yom, but by Laila you would need to have two. The one exception to that is Ishto serves as a Shomeris alone, even by Laila. Next time, Eretz Hashem, I want to continue to explore the din of Ishto Imo. This is, again, falls to sort of a subset, a subfield of the din of Shnei Nashim, where we're closing with the fact that Ishto Imo has unique strength, that she serves as a Shomeris, even Balayla. I want to explore next time, it's Hashem, Gemara Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Beis, Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Hei, that talks about the limits of Ishto Imo. It's in Avodah Zarah because it's talking about, does Ishto Imo work when you have Yichud with a Nachri? If a man and woman are alone, and he is a Nachri, a man and two women, but it's a Nachri and his wife and a Jewish woman. So it's Christopher, Christina, and Yocheved. So how do you deal with that? So it's Ishto Imo. Is Ishto Imo work even by Nachri? That may also take us back to discuss, as I said before, come back to discuss Tosis that raised the possibility that Ishto Imo also breaks down when you're dealing with Asakim Manashim, so that may come to end. Bring against the general issues of Yichud Nachrim. That's where we're headed in Mitzvah Shem going forward.